Hello, everyone. My name is John Williams, and I'm the Chief Executive of the Institute of Leadership. And I welcome you to our monthly podcast show, Leadership at the Edge, where we share ideas across the community of leadership practice in every context, everywhere. Each month, I'm joined by senior leaders from around the world to discuss their real-life experiences, to challenge some of the outdated leadership practices, and to offer a fresh take on the issues that today's leaders face.
In this episode, we'll be discussing leadership of teams with my special guest, David Kesby. David is an organizational coach who develops individuals, teams, and organizational systems through the practice of coaching. A former captain in the Parachute Regiment, chief consultant coach at the Academy of Executive Coaching, and author of the book Extra Dependent Teams, David has many years' experience of learning and development, coaching, and leadership development. So who better then to discuss the importance to leadership of recognizing extra dependent teams and actually what we mean by that? David, welcome.
Thank you, John. Thank you. It's a delight to be here. I really appreciate the invitation.
Excellent. Well, it's really, I'm really, really pleased that you're here, actually, because extra dependent teams, and I've been having a look at your book, Extra Dependent Teams, is not a term that I came across until quite recently, actually. Shame on me for not paying more attention, I think, probably. But I think just for our audience, could you give us first a reasonably straightforward explanation of what is meant by extra dependent teams?
Okay, well, first of all, I'll share in your shame, in as much as I would have loved that the term was more prolific and more common. I invented it in about 2018, perhaps before, but in terms of writing the book, I had to give a name to something that I recognised was happening in organisations, and that was a type of teaming that didn't fit the conventional model of teaming. So the simple explanation, I've chosen the word extra dependent to indicate that the dependency of the team is with people outside the team, not with inside the team. So conventionally, when we're working towards a good functioning team, then we would hear the term interdependent. And that's common parlance amongst people who write and develop and research teams, is they're focusing on interdependence. And but the key to this is it's phenomenologically the case, i.e. it exists, whether you like it or not, it exists, that there are teams in organisations, almost all organisations, I would suggest, where there is a collective group of people who may or may not consider themselves a team, who actually depend on people outside the team rather than each other. And the reason for that is because of their similarity. So interdependent teams typically rely on each other's differences. They have different strengths. They have different roles from each other, and they have a common goal. In an extra dependent team, they are a combination of similarity. So they all do roughly the same thing. And they don't work with each other, they work with others outside of the team. So in my time of studying this, I've worked with matrons, I've worked with risk managers, I've worked in financial crime, or at least the regulation of it, not the actual I've worked with vicars, I've worked with all sorts of different people, coders in artificial intelligence, all sorts of things. So they all do the same things. They don't necessarily work together. They don't need each other. But they benefit from each other. And so the interesting thing about this is recognizing the similarity rather than the difference. And with that similarity, what can you do with it? And you benefit from it. But the actual act of being in an extra dependent team is fundamentally different from what we imagine should be an interdependent team. And so my attempt was actually to say, look, these teams exist. And because I base it off research and my understanding and my own practice of communities of practice, which are about similarities, then I know that teams of similarity can perform and work well and be value adding, but through their similarity rather than their difference.
Right. Now, this is interesting. So somebody, for example, like if we took a very large corporate that has lots of divisions around the world or whatever, the managing directors, for example, within that corporate might be viewed as an extra dependent team if each of them has a similar responsibility, if you like, to run a division. Is that an example of it?
Yes, exactly. So country managers are an example of that, or right. regional managers, things like that. And so what do people are often in those sorts of teams, they might be known as a leadership team.
Yep.
Now, the question is, why are they a team? Mm-hmm. So there's sort of three ways of thinking about this. Okay. The most common way of thinking about it is we're a team because our line manager tells us we're a team.
Okay? Yes.
And so we're all in the same team because we all report to the same line manager. Mm-hmm. And that is sort of the basic introduction to understanding teams in organizations.
Right.
And it's not terribly helpful because there's the word team, but there's not the actual functionality of a team.
Right.
So it's a hub and spoke type of thing. The line manager treats everybody individually and manages them individually rather than as a collective.
Right.
The second one then is sort of going, okay, so let's understand this dynamic of teams. I see teaming all over the place. I see it, you know, great sports teams and yep. examples of great teaming in action. How could we bring this into our organization or into my team? And so what people do is they learn how to be interdependent, because that's the conventional sort of, how do I get better? I get yep. better by being in an interdependent team, generating yep. interdependence. And then you champion difference and working together and common goals and things like that.
Yeah.
And so that's the second level. And whilst the majority of people out there, they're still stuck in that line management type of thinking. And then there's more enlightened move on up to the, well, there's this teaming thing that goes on. It's about interdependence, and they understand that. What I find is that there's real confusion in that because the actual teams in organizations don't all work to the interdependent philosophy. Uh-huh. And that's where I introduce a third level, which is actually, let's have interdependent teams and extra dependent teams. Let's recognize them both. Mm-hmm. And if we recognize them both, we can start to see how they combine together in organizations. And so if you have an interdependent team, there's a reasonable chance that somebody outside of your line management will join that team for a very good reason, which means that you are dependent on that skill, that capability, that knowledge. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're not talking just about advising and stuff like that. We're talking about being a member of the team.
Yeah.
So we go to the country manager, for instance. Mm. The country manager might have an interdependent team because they're doing all sorts of things within that country.
Yeah.
You might have somebody from head office, let's say.
Yeah.
And provide some kind of intervention or some kind of contribution to that country. Say marketing is a centralized function, and then somebody's allocated to work with this team, you know, 50% of their time or something like that.
Yeah.
And so there's this, there can be a confusion about what membership of a team can be because they're not in my line management and things like that. And that's what happens within organizations. But once you start to recognize interdependence, you can start to recognize that membership, that person from head office, as it were, has a legitimate membership of that team, even though they aren't line managed by that country manager.
Yep.
And then similarly, that line manager is a member of all the other country teams. And so they are doing the same things, but they don't need each other in that.
Right.
They don't need each other to be leading
to deliver.
So you have, say, three or four country managers, let's say country north, west, east, and south. Okay.
Yep.
They all lead their countries in that interdependent teams with some central support, as it were.
Yeah.
They might see themselves as a leadership team, but they are there because they are line managed.
Yeah.
Okay. The line manager thinks we are a team because I'm a leader. I'm not just a manager. I want to be a leader. And what do leaders lead? They lead teams, don't they? So let's be a team. And then they try to get these country managers to work together because that's what interdependent teams are supposed to do. But actually, working together takes those line managers, those country managers, away from their countries.
Yes.
So working together, which seems such a great idea in interdependent, actually gets in the way of those country managers actually doing a really good job.
Right.
Now, there's real benefit. If you recognize them an extra dependent team, you say, okay, so they're here for their similarities. They're all country managers, north, south, east, and west. If somebody in the north is doing something that's successful, wouldn't that be great if that technique was also used within south, east, and west? And so the extra dependent team, the benefit of that is to share practice so that you raise the bar of everyone's capability. And as a result, everyone takes more to their own practice and their own delivery within those own areas. And it's the same with matrons. It's the same with vicars. It's the same with risk managers. It's the same with coders.
So actually, very interesting. Instead of trying to get that country managers, that leadership team, if you like, to behave like a team, like an interdependent team, which takes time and effort, actually, and that detracts therefore from the time and effort they need to give to their own country team. Actually, what they share is practice, ideas, suggestions, stuff like this. So I think the differential that you made was interdependent teams have a common goal. The whole team has a common goal. Extra dependent teams have a common practice.
Yes.
Is that the right way to look at it?
Absolutely,
so that they're sharing practice.
Absolutely right. I should have mentioned it before because it is a simple way of explaining it.
This is great because actually to share practice, of course, can take some time, but it takes a lot less time than having to focus on delivering a common goal with an interdependent team. And I think that's a vital point to make. What does that mean for the leader of that extra dependent team? Because actually, if that leader decides to treat them as an interdependent team, then actually that may well detract from their efficiency and effectiveness in sharing practice. Does it work that way? Because it sounds like it could be quite a different leadership competency to lead an extra dependent team.
I think it is. Mm-hmm. And in my book, I'm quite binary. There's interdependencies and there's extra dependent teams. And it's, 5 years old, that book now.
Yep.
And the more I work with organizations, the more I realize that some teams are actually a bit of both. It depends on how you cut it. Mm-hmm. So, but acknowledging there are two types of teams allows the awareness to choose, okay, how are we behaving as a team? Where's our contribution with each other? How do we combine together to get the value add? So a head of a country manager team, for instance, may well make them into an interdependent team. And they would typically interdepend around developing a strategy, for instance, for the whole of the organization, for the whole of that sort of organization. That's that strategy. They would then deliver their element of it into their country.
Yes.
Now, when you're putting the strategy together, that's interdependent. When you're implementing that strategy for your own individual area, you're extra dependent.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, the question for a leader is, am I noticing the difference in the dynamics between when we were working together to put together the strategy and when that strategy is being implemented in its sort of cascade? If you don't notice because it's not on your radar, if you've never come across this term, then you can't be sensitive to it. You have no awareness of it. Right. As soon as you do, then you start to recognize in that country manager team, there's two things going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's some combination of differences. Yeah. So people's experiences in different organizations of strategy and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also that similarity as being a country head.
Yeah.
And so for a leader, what's interesting about the interdependence is that there's mutual accountability. There's mutual accountability. That's one of the key things. Where you understand how interdependence works. Mm-hmm. Everybody is mutually accountable.
Yeah.
And that's why line management, this sort of line management, isn't helpful, because mm-hmm. line management presumes that the line manager has more responsibility than others. But if you're going to really team as an interdependent team, then mm-hmm. everyone has equal, you know, responsibility for the achievement of that. And that really bonds that difference together. So it's a really powerful bond.
Yeah.
The challenge with extra dependency is that the country manager is only responsible for their countries.
Right.
So the line manager mm-hmm. then suddenly gets into this sort of herding cats type of situation, okay?
Yeah.
Where they're going, how come, and they get into that because the line manager of the country managers is still overall responsible. They're still accountable.
Yes.
Whilst the country managers are really only accountable for their own individual regions or their own country, should I say.
Yes.
And there's a dynamic that plays out there that causes managers all sorts of issues, because they say, why can't, you know, country West recognize this is for the bigger picture and things like that?
Yes. Yeah.
Now, I get that. Mm-hmm. And it's useful to think about the bigger picture, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But when somebody is interdependent, they are dependent on each other, and they start to help another country. And if they help another country and they spend time in that other country, for instance, they aren't spending time in their own country. So there's a negative tension pulling people apart rather than bonding them together. But that's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Mm-hmm. So I was working with some risk and value managers in a transport industry, and I remember sitting down, they were talking about a group of, they had about 10 competencies they wanted to work on. And they all had different specialisms, and one had a particular specialism for sort of financial risk. And mm-hmm. and a member in this workshop I was taking part in, and they said, look, and they were the equivalent of the country managers because they ran regions, okay?
Yeah.
And I remember the profile, should all these regional risk managers, should they be able to be strong at something, you know, in their competencies, or did they need to be, you know, across the board and good at everything? Okay.
Yeah.
And the mentality was, we're a team. I can have a strength.
Right.
This person said, you know, I can have a strength. And I said, that's fine. Okay. That's fine. But your region that you work for needs you to have competency right across the board. You can't be great at financial risk and rubbish at other risks, okay? Mm-hmm. You need to be right across the board. Now, the fact that you're good at financial risk means that the whole team could benefit from you sharing that practice so that everyone's good. Of course, you're always going to be better because of your experience, but other people are going to be better than they would otherwise have been.
So the baseline can grow, can improve right across the board, as it were.
And that's the synergy in this type of team. The sharing of practice means everybody's bar raises, and then they take that out into their regions or their countries or their parishes or their wards or whatever it might be. And they never experience it as a whole team, but individually they contribute the combination, the effect of the combination of the whole.
Very interesting. Yeah, that's synergy in the proper sense. And what the question this raises in my mind then is, it's about motivating and rewarding the members of extra dependent teams, because they're line managers, like the MD, for example, who has a bunch of country managers to manage.
Yeah,
they may think of this bunch of country managers as a team and motivate or reward them in the same way. As they would an interdependent team.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, they ought to be rewarded perhaps more for the degree of synergy that they create and the organisational benefit in aggregate rather than individually.
Indeed. Now, this frustrates me because organisations just treat all managers and leaders the same, or managers actually, because that's the ones that they're rewarding as the line managers, but not necessarily, you know, on their, they might be on results and things like that, but how do they measure results in the same way? And an extra dependent team, their results are going to be different because just the way that the matrix or the organizational system works. Mm-hmm. So the other thing that frustrates me is that line managers focus on accountability rather than delivery. And right. I would, you know, everyone whose line reports is reporting upwards as an accountability type of thing. Mm-hmm. And nobody, really, we should as leaders be talking about delivery and supporting that delivery. How do we lead in a way that supports and enables delivery rather than simply accountability? And so that's one of the challenges with performance is it's directly related to accountability rather than delivery, as it were.
Interesting.
Am I doing what I'm, you know, my targets that I've got or my objectives or whatever it might be, which can be sort of randomly organized, am I actually delivering against those? Am I exceeding them? Am I, you know, whatever? And that's my world, that's quite an old school way of measuring performance.
Yeah.
Why would you set achievable targets? There's all sorts of complexities with it, you know, because people dumb down so that they
absolutely.
So you build in this system, which is all. And I've worked with organisations of performance management, and try to, you know, improve them and experiment with different ways.
What is it problematic?
Yeah.
What is it they say? A measure is a good thing until it becomes a target. I think that's that sort of thing.
Yeah. So I'm working with organisations who are employing OKRs, which is and key results. Now, where this goes wrong is where people say, well, an OKR is basically a SMART objective. Hmm. And SMART objectives have the A, which is achievable.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going into the uncertainty of the future, which is we're all doing, and give or take, how do you know it's achievable unless you've already done it before and you can promise what you've already done? If you're promising what you've already done, then you're expecting the future to be like it was. Yeah. That's not the way that the future works. So we've got to get rid of the A in SMART and say, well, it may not be achievable, but we're going to still go for it anyway. So those organizations that employ OKRs are saying, look, let's go for it. Let's go for that moonshot, go for that big thing. And we'll get halfway, but it'll be halfway to the moon rather than, you know, from one city to the next.
And that's interesting because, yes, the idea of something that we know is achievable is almost a barrier to innovation. Because if we know we can achieve it doing what we do now, why would we do something that was innovative or risky or whatever it is and stuff like that? Just thinking about this, and particularly thinking about extra dependent teams and understanding the way that leadership works within and around extra dependent teams. Is that therefore a competency that leaders can develop, which could actually be a competitive advantage for their organization? And in a sense, is it a competitive disadvantage not to recognize extra dependent teams and capitalize upon them?
So I think organizations need to recognize that interdependent teams and extra dependent teams exist.
Yeah.
That if they recognize them and understood where they are in their organizational system, they would benefit from utilizing them better. And therefore, helping leaders in those positions to recognize what type of what their expectations of their leadership are.
Right.
I think that most organizations think of their sort of organogram type structure as how it works, and interdependent teams and extra dependent teams can fit into that organogram, but they often fit between it. Much more because we're typically in at least two teams simultaneously. Mm-hmm. So an extra dependent team, for instance, is also by definition, they're going to be members of interdependent teams to help delivery.
Yeah.
Like that country manager's got somebody from center of marketing.
Yeah.
They're working in an interdependent team and they need to work like that. So if leaders have a competency or an awareness, should I say, if they're being asked to be unaware of it, if you're in an interdependent team and you're aware of interdependency and extra dependency, you'll recognize that the marketing person in your country manager is joining from an extra dependent team, and that one person isn't coming on their own. They come as a whole as it right, were.
With the sort of assembled knowledge and expertise of the whole marketing team.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
And so the interdependent team leader can actually have a conversation with an extra dependent team leader saying, you know, this person's bringing some great capability, or what other capability does your team offer that right. you can bring through this particular person? We've got a great relationship and stuff, but what else is yeah. there? Or the other way around, the extra dependent team talks to the interdependent team leader. As a competency, though, I would say that leadership is a relationship. So leaders are in a leader role, but leadership is a relationship. So I think that whatever happens, the competency of the leader, the capability of the leader, is nothing without all the members of that team. So leadership is a combination of, you know, leader and follower. And the manager may not be the leader. There could be other leaders distributed and everyone has an opportunity to lead and everyone has an opportunity to follow. It's the collaboration, the way that that team collaborates, which is going to make the value add. And I think that the word value add is one I prefer to use than competitive advantage.
Right.
Because so many people are so distracted by what the competition is that they fail to sort of recognize what they're trying to do. And so, you know, I'm very much supportive of purpose, you know, purpose-driven organizations. If your purpose is to, my purpose here is to, that everyone deserves to be led well.
Yeah.
That's my purpose. If my purpose is everyone deserves to be led well and other people in other organizations are doing what I'm doing, are they my competition or are they fulfilling my purpose?
Absolutely. Yes, indeed.
And so they're fulfilling my purpose, which means, well done.
That's beneficial. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. You're helping me to achieve what I'm all about.
Excellent. Excellent. David, this conversation actually could go on and on because I think there's so much depth in this. This is absolutely great, and I would encourage everybody actually to get your book because there's so much, obviously, so much more depth than we can possibly have in this conversation. We do need to finish, and we do need to finish on the inevitable top tip question here, actually, which is I know it's very difficult in most cases, but what would be your number one tip for leaders wanting to recognize and capitalize on this principle of extra dependent teams?
My top tip is if you are herding cats, which is what I hear often, it's not the cats that are wrong, it's the herding. Okay, which is something that any leader of an extra dependent team can change. So the way, just change the nature of the herding, treat them as, they are cats, they're cats for a reason, and that's because they work independently, not interdependently. So change the conversation. And the thing that I think would make the biggest difference, and this is very practical, is turn your team meetings on their head. So you would have a meeting of a team, let's say once a week, once every 2 weeks or once a month, and you'd have one-to-ones with your people once a month or whatever. In an interdependent team, you'd have a meeting where everyone is sharing where are we up to, what's your part in this, give us an update, and then we work together to do that, because their difference needs to be heard by the team. In the one-to-one conversations, you then say, what issues you're having, you know, can I help with it? Let's do some coaching and stuff like that. In an extra dependent team, it reverses. So the team meetings don't ask, give me an update on where you're to, because nobody else in the team needs to hear it. But do say, what are your challenges? What are your challenges and how can we as a whole team here help you think through that challenge? Because if we've had it before, we can give you a simple answer. And if we haven't had it yet, by hearing it and working it through means that we're ready when it does happen. Okay?
Excellent. Excellent.
And then in the one-to-ones, you say, right, give me an update. What are you doing? Yeah. How have you achieved? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So it's a reverse. Excellent. And that's it's as simple and as difficult as that, because you have to break out of a mental model that says this is the way to hold good team meetings. And how many times have I had people ask me, Dave, my problem is my team isn't a team. And you're going, right, well, therein lies a...
there's a clue. Yeah,
and the other one is my team meetings aren't really working. People are, you know, it's not really working. Yep. But whenever I encourage an extra dependent team leader to reverse and to bring the development into the team meetings, not the accountability, then all of a sudden, everyone starts to recognize the potential of their togetherness, of their collaboration.
I think that's an absolutely perfect place for us to end this at least this first conversation. I think, Dave, I'm sure we will have more conversations about this. And I think, as a tip, I will be implementing that tip at my very next senior leadership team meeting, most definitely.
Okay, so here's, if I may, John, sorry, I know this.
No.
Start by asking, not a challenge, a success. Mm-hmm. What have you done well, and how did you make it go well? Because that is also sharing practice. Okay, excellent. But it's an easier story to tell. It's still challenging to say to share with your colleagues what you've done well. People find that quite difficult, but it's much safer from a team point of view and a vulnerability point of view, which is all essential in teams. How can I be vulnerable? I'll be vulnerable with my success. Of course, that also underpins that any competitiveness within the, because all of a sudden I'm giving my strengths away, my competitive advantage in the team. Well, let's get rid of that. You know, let's be there's no need that we can just be collaborative. We all be better together.
Excellent. David, thank you so much. It really, truly thought-provoking. That's tremendous. And that's it. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. My special thanks to our guest, David Kesby, and, of course, to you, the audience, for listening. Please do join the conversation via social media using the hashtag #LeadershipAtTheEdge. And for more of our podcasts and events and lots of other content, visit our website, www.leadership.global, subscribe and mention us to your colleagues. Thank you, everyone, for listening.